Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen, and today's episode is actually something that I recorded last February with Audra and Katie from Ranchy Stems, and they were in the first group of peddling perishable products a year ago. We have changed the course around a little bit since this was first recorded. So it's no longer a specific start time, but it's available anytime. So you can literally sign up today if you want. You get access to the private Facebook group and everyone that's taken the course. So it's dozens of flower farmers, not thousands. Maybe someday it'll be hundreds, but we'll see. And of flower farmers just like you, and you can help each other and ask questions and clarify things. And it's a lot more intimate group. And you also get lifetime access to the private PPP podcast that serves as group coaching. And you can submit questions, or I just break down the numbers of my farm for the week or the month and just a lot of the behind the scenes of the business aspects as my business continues to grow. So take a listen. And if you want to join PPP, you can find more information about it in the episode notes. And if you're hesitant, you can schedule a no obligation 15-minute phone call with me for free just to ask questions about the course, because I want to make sure it's actually going to help you in your business. So that's enough rambling. Here's the episode. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler. Today, we're going to do a little bonus episode. I have Katie and Audra from Ranchy Stems here to talk about their experience taking peddling perishable products. Do you guys want to say hi?
Yeah, hello. We're glad to be here.
Hey, everybody. Yes, glad to be here in sunny South Dakota.
Yeah, we are in Mitchell, South Dakota. So I am here for the Women in Blue Jeans convention. I'm speaking at noon. For more information on speaking, check out my website, Sunny Mary Meadow, and click on the speaking tab. Anyway, little plug there. But why don't you guys introduce yourselves with your name so that they can recognize the voice? Because poor Abby, when she's trying to edit it and all that stuff. So just maybe, I don't know, your voices kind of sound the same. But
sure. My name's Katie Jones, and I am a farm wife as of current. But historically speaking, I am an athletic trainer and physical therapist by trade. Went to school in Kansas for a couple of years, then came back and finished up my degree at South Dakota State. So go Jackrabbits. And we went to Tulare and started our family together. And then my husband and I moved back home where we reside currently and have three children. We have a senior, which is unreal, a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old. And we farm and ranch full time. I'm no longer practicing, but I'm at home and I help him in all capacities. And yes, just last year we took a dive into flower farming. It's been amazing.
Yeah, I'm Audra Scheel. I am a wife, mom. We farm and ranch as well. We raise sheep, goats, and cattle. And we have three kids over by Alpena, South Dakota. I also have a senior this year, so they're in the same class, and so we're navigating that. There's only a few short weeks left of this good stuff. Good stuff. And then I have a freshman and a sixth grader. So our kids are kind of in the same ages and that sort of thing. Grew up on the western side of the state, so out at Belvidere, South Dakota, and we moved back here about 10 years ago, and I currently work with SDSU Extension and 4-H as a youth program advisor. So that's a lot of fun, too. So
I didn't know these wonderful women really until they started reaching out to me on Instagram a few years ago. I think you guys found my account. We'll get to that in a minute, how maybe you found it. But I like to take credit for inspiring them for starting a flower farm. And, you know, they watched. And when I announced I was going to, you know, start this course, they probably understood why. Like, well, okay, if she's gotten maybe 10 emails or Instagram messages from us asking people, it just turned into this like, okay, I'm getting all these messages, people are asking me, and I cannot answer them one by one. So I decided to take a summary of everything and turn it into a course so that I can actually help the people that are asking, but then I can continue to follow up and see them. But it's kind of funny. So the Peddling Perishable Products group started November 1st. And I mean, I'm sure at some point we've been in the same place at the same time, right? Like South Dakota State Fair or something like that. But not that we know of or not that we ever knew. But then I was literally, my daughter Davy blew out of her diaper at my cousin's wedding in South Dakota. And I was trying to like change the diaper. And yeah, so there we go. Audra walks in and she's like, "You okay?" I'm like, "Oh my gosh, it's you. Okay." And then we were in Texas for SDSU National Championship, and we're at Billy Bob's, and I'm trying to buy a can koozie, and there's Katie. So it was just kind of funny, the circles that you hang out in. And that's why I always say, like, just never, you know, just always be careful who you're talking to or those connections, and never underestimate that.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is, when I first kind of started following you and stuff, I didn't know you because obviously your name had changed and different last name, but you shared a picture of your folks, a newspaper clipping, and I'm like, oh, that's JT's daughter.
Yep.
And I'm like, my dad bought bulls from your dad. Mm-hmm. And I remember that bull because we called him JT.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
So the world is small.
The world is so small.
And you, we're
especially
only
the
one
world
connection.
And egg. I'm sure people in whatever industry can say that, but it really,
absolutely.
It really is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you guys took, you know, kind of the leap of faith, and they are one of the Flower Farmer Forum Friday featured flower farmers. So they'll have a whole episode on, like, really what their farm entails. But today I kind of want to talk about just your journey in investing in yourself. And honestly, we've never really talked about this. So I want to hear, this is really good live feedback of what made you guys decide to take my course. What was your experience with it? I want to know so that I can keep improving on it. And like I said, we finished the first group. I'm making a few changes to it. There were a few things where I'm like, nope, I could have been more clear on that message, or I could change it. But honestly, if I sat here and said, no, it was perfect and I'm not changing a thing, that would be a red flag, because we all need to evolve and grow. And we all know that with our flowers, what we sell in season one, I hope it's not season five. It's just like today I'm giving the keynote speech to 150 people. And last night I said to my friend, I'm like, I hope it's the best speech I've ever given tomorrow. I said, and I hope tomorrow after that will be the worst speech I've ever given, because I hope I continue to go. I've never given this speech. I've never done it. I mean, it's going to be the best I can right now, but I hope 3 years from now I look back and I'm embarrassed. Like, I mean, that's the goal, right? Like, we should be constantly evolving. So why don't you go ahead, Katie?
Right. So Audra introduced me to following Liz on social media. And we were kind of the creepers that kind of just followed in the background. And we really liked that she had she was a jackrabbit. So that was huge. So that was a bonus. And we really liked when she talked about the nursing home sponsorships. And that was just really tugged on our heartstrings, that we just wanted to bring joy. So then we just started following and following. And when this course come up available, it was a really easy decision for me when I saw it, because I thought, why try to navigate through waters that we know nothing about? And I mean, we did that for year one in our flower farm, but moving forward, we knew we had some obstacles to go over. And this course sounded like it was going to reach those. It wasn't necessarily like how to grow a zinnia. No, I needed the backside, the business part, how to be super efficient when it came to filing my tax forms, or what I need to do to find the productivity in each flower to know what we should put in for next year. I needed the nuts and bolts, for lack of better words, of how to be super successful in the business end of it. The growing part, I think that will be ever changing and ever evolving, but why go through muddy water and try and figure it out yourself when there's a course laid out for us to follow? And so that was the biggest selling point. As soon as I saw what it was going to consist of, I'm like, God, we're doing this. So it took about 30 seconds for us to decide, let's do this.
Thank you. I think that, you know, for me, what I started doing was, before I was going to create the course, because, you know, I had heard of people creating courses, and actually I took a course a year ago right now on speaking. And really, I paid $1,500 for it on how to craft a message. And it's someone that I have followed and someone that I have trusted. Her name is Christy Wright. I have followed her since she worked at Dave Ramsey, and she used to be like the business boutique lady. And she left that company and she had a non-compete, so she couldn't teach on business anymore. So she had been a keynote speaker all over the country. So she created a course called Stop Winging It. And she said, you know, whether you are presenting in a boardroom, whether you are presenting to 500 people in an audience, whether you're leading your church group, whether you're on a podcast, and I was starting a podcast, she's like, you need to learn how to craft a message. You need to learn how to bring the audience along. You need to learn how to stand out, how not to be boring. And if you're going to do this professionally, you need to learn how to get booked. You need to learn how to market yourself. You need to learn about contracts. And it was, I mean,
I paid $1,500 for this course. And at the time, if you signed up in time, you got the free $400 one on getting booked. And it's one of those things that I never thought I would end up speaking professionally. The jury is out on whether on how that's going to look in the next 6 months. But I have 5 or 6 opportunities booked coming up, sharing my message. And I'm starting to work with a nonprofit, being in their speakers bureau. So it's just interesting. And I'm like, yeah, of course I could figure it out. But watch me piss off someone in the long, or like accidentally say something wrong or unprofessional, or why would I, one mistake could cost me so much. So I just thought, you know what, if someone's going to tell me exactly what to do instead of missing out on opportunities, I mean, if I wouldn't have taken that course, I would have, you know, started cold calling people or sending emails. Hi, my name's Liz. I have a story. Can I speak? Like, no, that's not what you do. That's not how this works. The stages that I want to hopefully be on, or even my podcast or whatever it might be. And so my goal was just, I was originally going to do one-on-one phone consultations, and I had people ask me to do that. And I did a few of them, actually a couple of people that were in peddling. Eliza was the very first one I did. And, you know, I was like, okay, X amount an hour for a phone call. And we did 2 phone calls. And that's what made me think, I'm like, and I ended up giving, I was like, put that toward peddling, because I feel bad. Like I felt like I didn't serve her, and she disagreed. She's like, no, you helped me. You answered my questions. I'm like, yeah, but you don't know what to ask. And I don't mean that to be insulting. I just mean, you think that this is what you need, or you're asking for a technical fix, right? You think like, well, how do I sell more flowers? Well, I'll put up a sign, tell people, post it on Facebook. Like, that's a technical answer, but no, I want to show you how to do that.
Yeah, I think it's just, it really boils down to education. I mean, being a lifelong learner and just soaking it all in. Katie and I didn't just take, I mean, it felt like we jumped in the deep end of the pool. But in all actuality, this had kind of been tugging on our heartstrings for a couple of years. And so we had been researching, we had been following, we had been Googling things and just kind of storing it all away. And so then when you fall into it and God's like, nope, you're doing this now. Because yep. It was going to be our after the kids left the nest project.
Yeah.
And nope, kids are still in the nest and we're doing it.
Well, and I think what I offer in my course that is different than other courses that I've seen, I am not the first person to do this. You know, there's other flower farmers that have created something similar. And I have friends that have taken some of those courses and they've been incredibly beneficial. But what I want to do is teach, I'm saying women because most are women, or all so far have been women. But if a man wants to join my course, he's more than welcome. But I want to teach women to build their business around their life, not their life around their business. And I want it to be the life that they want. This is for people that are looking for something other than a farm stand and a farmer's market, because that's not sustainable. Like, you just do not want to have to build your weekends around that and build, you know, and hope and leave a lot to chance and leave a lot to fate. If it's a hot day, if it's, you know, if it's rainy day, now you just lost a week's worth of income. That is not a sustainable way to do it. That's what I learned, and that's how I built my business model, was, okay, we're gonna structure the week so that on this day I do this day I do that. And then, you know, it's not the leftovers being used. It's just being really smart and efficient about how I do everything, and we don't have to touch everything twice. You know, if I put flowers out on the farm stand, you know, okay, we need fresh zinnias, but some of the status is fine, so let's pick them out and reuse them. Like, no, you're remaking that. That is not efficient, and that's not a way to do it. I also think that there is definitely merit in this being a side hustle, a part-time job, or a full-time career. And I think that that's the one thing I want to get a little bit clearer with the course, is trying to help people identify that at the very beginning. I think that would be, I tried to say it that way, but I didn't know how to quite say it. So I'm going to go back through and kind of change that first model and put it that way, but helping them identify that, because I don't want anyone working 70 hours a week. And if this is going to be a problem with, you know, the very real thing that a lot of women are like, you know what, I can never quit my W-2 job because we need that income on our balance sheet for our farm, period. Okay, well then what's the plan? So if that's at least 40 hours, let's be realistic. Like, maybe a farmer's market is what you can do, or subscriptions or whatever it might be, like, then you don't need to offer as many things as me, because you can't put, I don't want you putting 30 hours a week into this on top of your 40 hour week job. Like, if that's your goal, I don't support that. And I know that sounds really bad, but then let's adjust it and let's find a way for it to be profitable with minimal hours put in. And I think it's doable. All three levels are doable, but identifying that right away is incredible. Otherwise, it's a recipe for burnout.
I think that's probably what I sought after most. I wanted to pick your brain in the course as far as, you know, when do you do X, Y, and Z, and why do you do it that way? Because I was finding myself going out and harvesting each day for what was needed the next day. And I think towards the end, I'm not going to call it burnout, but I think I was to the point of like overwhelmed. Like I'm doing the same thing every single day. And yet you're still balancing your life and your kids, because nothing there has changed. We just added a whole nother business. And I knew what work was going to be involved. That didn't scare me. I don't think it scared Audra either. But I had to streamline and make the time spent flower farming super efficient. And so that what we harvested on day one, what it could be used for on day two and three, and then harvest again and just be super efficient. And then, and even in the bookkeeping part, I was super interested in the accounting module. Like, how are you devising how to figure out, you know, your sales tax other than a notebook piece of paper that gets lost? And then, I spilled all that water on it. And now it's not there. I mean, it wasn't functional. I ended up punting quite a bit, but I hope that the sales, South Dakota sales tax doesn't listen to this and know that I punted, but yeah. I did report some and I did the very best I could. But yeah. Anyway, I knew that I had to figure out a way.
It wasn't intentional.
Absolutely. Not
you did
intentional.
The best you could. That's what I would say. I'm like, if I'm audited, I'll just say, you know, I tried my best. And yeah. if you think that I owe money, then I guess I do. I paid you everything I thought I owed you, but it might have been inaccurate in those first few years, especially like when Josh first passed away and all that my 2020 taxes were, it was interesting because it was, you know, he died that December and I was, anyway.
You call that doing the best you can with the knowledge that you have.
Yeah.
So exactly. I just knew I wanted, when she started talking about when Liz started talking about the modules that she was going to come out with, I'm like, that's what I want to see. That is what I want to see. And everyone rolled in like the LLC. That's not where we're at yet. But that's something, like you say, devising a plan. Where do we see ourselves in 5 years? Audra has a plan for 5 years. I don't know if I do yet. And I don't know where I want to take it. But I think that's a super important component. And moving forward, I need to streamline that as well. But the modules were crafted and released in a very specific order. And I remember the module hadn't come out yet. And it was probably October when I needed to report my sales tax. And I just so wanted to ask her the questions, like, how are you doing this? And I think I even sent you a message. I'm like, I'm guessing this is coming out in the next module, but how do I do this? And it did. I needed to be patient. It came out and they've been so beneficial already. And so setting up for 2024, I've changed a lot of things, even how you set up your accounts to know that you have your sales tax pulled out and then it's ready for
it's
you.
There.
Yes.
It's not an emergency.
Absolutely.
Like, all of a sudden when I find out, when I, you know, look at it and I'm like, oh, I owe $2,800 in sales tax. It's fine. I've already set it aside. I knew that. You can plan for that. That's not your money.
Yep. And I have such an appreciation for that. And it calms me too. I don't have it hanging over my head because we've now created a spreadsheet that both of us can see. We've got the tax separated. I mean, it's just there.
I'm so happy.
And this
makes me happy.
Yeah. And so to be honest, probably my favorite modules were the accounting one. And well, some of the bonus modules were fantastic too, but I was really seeking out the accounting, like, how do I do the business part? Mm-hmm. I'm an athletic trainer and a farmer. Mm-hmm. And the only thing
I'm
was...
I'm a nurse practitioner and a farmer, so I get it.
The only thing I wanted to know in college was medicine. I did not care about accounting. And suddenly, I'm a farmer's wife and I have to figure this out. And now I'm starting a flower farm. I am knee deep and I'm in. We have to figure this out. So I was so grateful. That was by far my most favorite module. It was probably the longest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was like 70 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Abby was awesome.
Yeah.
So.
And I think I've listened to it like two or three times because I'd stop and go back.
And that was my.
And that was another bonus.
Was to like have it on there. We're going to do a quick break from this episode. And I want to give a shout out to my employee of the month, QuickBooks. I know it can be so overwhelming to get started, but honestly, the sooner you create your own system for your bookwork, the sooner you will get your time back.
I used to spend 10 to 20 hours every quarter because in Minnesota, it depends on what your sales volume is. And I fall in the category of quarterly sales tax. So it never failed. Every 3 months, I would go down this rabbit hole of trying to gather everything from my website, the different point of sale that I do in person, people would pay checks, and just trying to reconcile it all. So now every month, I spend 1 hour reconciling my bank account with those systems that automatically feed in. And then when it's time to submit my sales tax, it takes me about 5 minutes, saving me literally dozens of hours every month. So yes, you pay a monthly fee for QuickBooks, but trust me, even if I only value my time at $10 an hour, it is still way worth it. Head to the episode notes and click on the link there, and you will get 30% off for 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use the code rather than just going to the regular website, because this is going to give you that 30% off for 6 months. I cannot recommend QuickBooks enough. Let's get back to the episode. That's another thing is I offer a phone call. I offer a 15-minute phone call because I want to hear about your flower farm and I want to know if I can actually help you. There have been a few people that I have said, hey, this isn't for you. This isn't what you're looking for. I cannot in good faith take your money. I've had two or three women that, I mean, just I think connected with me because they were actually widowed as well. And one of them is going to take the course. Another one, she just was like looking for something. And I think I want to start a business. And I was like, no, like this isn't for you. I could have convinced her to sign up. I know she was ready with her credit card info. And you know, we had this connection. I was like, nope. That made me realize just how vulnerable people can be. And it does make me mad when people are selling something on the internet that, you know, it can seem fake or it can seem genuine, but I'm like, no, I can't in good faith. I mean, go start a garden and see if you like it and then come back to me. But like, this is someone vulnerable and it's a big investment, $1,500. It's a big investment, but honestly, I firmly believe if I dropped the price to 500, I'd get 100 people to do it. I know I would, but I don't want that. I can't deliver. I'm not gonna be able to answer your questions. I mean, you guys, if I get a DM from one of you guys, I answer it. If I get a DM from other people, I try, but I can't answer 20 DMs a day, or I'll just say back like, thanks, or a smiley face or whatever. But if I get one from one of you guys, or if I see an email from one of you guys, that takes priority because you guys have invested in that. And that's what part of what you get with it, because I just can't do that. I can't take that time away from my family. I want to help people, but I can't help them all at 5%, but I can help you guys at, you know, really elevate you and add value was my goal.
You see, $1,500 is a big number, but it did not take me but about 20 seconds to do the math. Like, what's minimum wage? Well, I don't want to make minimum wage. I want to make $20, $30, $50 an hour. Well, you divide that by your $1,500. That's not very many darn hours.
Nope.
And to streamline my business, I was going to advance ourselves so much faster. So yes, the initial, it looks like a big number, but she offers a payment plan, so you don't have to come up with it all at once. So just do the math and do the homework and put your time. I think so many farmers or ranchers, where we don't punch in and you don't punch out, we don't value our time like we should. And I don't care what industry in agriculture that is. You know, you're out there day in, day out. We don't punch in and we don't get paid by the hour. You go by the end product. So when it comes down to a number like this, I divided that. I'm like, this is not very many hours. What I'm spending trying to trace down this piece of paper that I dumped a gallon of water on that I've lost. Well, I was running in circles. So it was easy decision. And the options were there to make it doable in smaller payment plans. Or if you're seeing it now and the doors are closing, you know, just start putting a few dollars away so that you're ready come fall. It will be worth your time.
Yeah. And I am excited when you say that about punching in and out. I know I've shared this a little bit, but so one thing that's going to be new with this next round, instead of doing a group live webinar Q&A, because it's hard because most of the women are working and it's just hard for them to get on their live. And I want it to be very valuable. I'm going to have them email questions or comment on the modules. And we're going to get rid of that whole community thing. It's going to be on the modules now. It's just going to be just little logistic things that we're changing around to make it easier, but they can comment their questions. And then I am actually creating a private podcast for the peddling groups. And then they get the episodes emailed to them. They can listen on their phone. They can listen in the car where I answer everyone's questions all at once. And then you guys who have already taken Peddling Perishable Products in the fall,
everyone's just going to get lifetime access to that. So I do a group in the spring, a group in the fall, and 3 years from now, you guys are still going to get those Q&A answers. And then it's funny you say that about the punch in and punch out. I bought an actual timekeeper, an actual punch, like whatever. And Brittany, Lindsay, me, Brent, we are all punching in and out starting the beginning of March. And I have 5 different color highlighters. One is just general, like if you can't really assign it to a product. And that'll be a lot of the hours, especially in the spring and the fall. But in the summertime, we are going to highlight it. It'll be green if we're doing subscriptions. It'll be pink if we're doing nursing home sponsorships. Me behind the scenes with admin stuff, if I'm working on, you know, making a Facebook post about my events, about my STEM bars, about, you know, if we're pulling all these extra weeds for UPix that we want the yard to look nice, but the yard does not have to look UPix nice all the time. So is it really that profitable? So I'm really excited on the private podcast for those of you to find out when I say, hey guys, we're getting rid of whatever program because it is not profitable. We put 80% of our time into 20%. Like, nope, let's see what things actually generate the most money and what we put our time into. I mean, it's like we do the events every year, Tulipalooza, Sunfest, Dahlia Day. And it's like we spend days getting ready and all this stuff. And I sell, there's $60 tickets because it's a big bouquet. We get like a charcuterie board. It's fun. But, and it's, you know, it's, we sell 75 tickets at $60 a piece or whatever. So it's like, yep, that's a big revenue. But when two people full time are working an extra 15 hours, that sucks up a lot of that profit real quick, and it's stressful, and the other stuff kind of falls by the wayside, and then we don't do a STEM bar that week because of this, and it's just like, it's fun, and are our customers having fun? And it's kind of like a big, it's honestly turned into people that are not subscription holders but want to like support the farm in a big way or have fun in a big way or whatever. So it's a higher dollar ticket item. Like we had women from Fergus Falls, from Duluth. Like we had people come 2 or 3 hours to come do it because they're like, I follow you on social media. I want to come so bad. I want to come to something big, not just a UPix, but I can't get a subscription. So I, you know, whatever it might be, but I, you know, so I think we'll continue doing it because there's value besides just dollars, but like, I don't know. We'll see. So I'm excited for you guys to have that info going forward, which you guys didn't even know that when you signed up for it. I didn't even know that when I signed up for it. And that's where like, I don't know. And I thought about, well, what if I make that an option for paid? And I'm like, no, like it, there will be other opportunities. I don't know. Not every, this is learning for me and kind of a thank you to you guys.
Right. I love the lifetime access. That's awesome. Cause you don't know what you don't know. And sometimes you're ready to digest information. And sometimes you're just not. You're not in that place yet. And so to have the opportunity to go back to it, you know, mm-hmm. in 6 months or 12 or whatever that case may be, is that's extremely valuable.
Yeah, I think there's another flower farmer that I follow in Michigan. And she, a couple years ago, she got rid of all of her annuals. So she does tulips, ranunculus, anemones, and then she has a break. Peonies, and then she has a break until dahlias. And I remember thinking she was freaking crazy. And I'm literally like, maybe she stumbled onto something. That's a really good idea. This maybe could work for me. And I don't know. We'll see. More to come on that. Although she has a longer growing season for her dahlias. Her dahlias are blooming by the end of July. Mine are not blooming until the end of August. So I don't think that would work for me for that reason. We really only get a couple weeks of dahlias really cranking out, but maybe.
Right. I don't know. Right. I got to throw into one of my favorite episodes. I kind of geek out on social media and graphic design and all of that kind of stuff. I enjoy it. And I loved Abby's content map of the month.
Yes.
Like, loved it. And we just have to be more intentional about like, okay, it's the first of the month. What's our plan?
You know? Exactly.
But it's so awesome because it's basically rinse and repeat.
Uh-huh.
And just you rinse with different things that are happening, current events. Mm-hmm. And that was really, really beneficial to us as we get going and you get into the busy stuff because life will pass you by and it's like, it's been 6 days since we posted anything on social media.
Yep.
And so I think that'll be really crucial.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Abby has been so great for my business in all that I have learned about from her. There was something that I said, like, yeah, it just feels so attention seeking. And she's like, yeah, once you get over that, you realize it is. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, yeah, you're trying to get attention to your business. She's like, but that doesn't make it bad. Like, we've learned, like, be humble, don't, you know, whatever. But that is what it is. And you can spend hours and hours every day scrolling through Instagram, looking at reels for inspiration and call it marketing. Like, no, that is a waste of your time. And so just learning how to be so intentional, because that can be such a time suck. And what is your goal? Is your goal to, I mean, I've kind of pivoted a little bit. Obviously, my Instagram, I do try to seek out other flower farmers because I've got my podcast, I've got my courses, I've got that now. But for the most part, the majority of flower farmers, they post what they think other flower farmers can like, and they do it for the likes and they do it for the comments, but their customers don't care. Their customers are buying flowers. They don't care about flower farming. They care about relaxing mornings in the meadow or beautiful flowers on their table or whatever that might be. I think another, so I just sent out a email last night to everyone that is like on my newsletter list or whatever for the coaching business. And I'm like, all right, you have 72 hours to sign up. Like, the doors are closing for the next round of peddling. And I said, you know, and I go, think of it as a shortcut. Now take a deep breath. We all like, I don't need a shortcut. I'm not afraid of hard work. Why wouldn't you want that? If someone's going to be a guide and someone's going to be assuring you, like, a shortcut is not, it's not a bad thing. It's a taboo. Like, we think, oh, well, that's lazy. No, it's not. It's being smart.
I think of it like a tutor. If we're taking a class, this is going to help get me through biochemistry.
Yeah, just why reinvent the wheel? That's the wheel I want to be on. So why think I have to craft it? Just follow along for those who have went before you. I mean, if you're in a generational farm, you try to better your business as you go, but you don't go and just start all new from what the generation did before you. You just kind of follow along, and it's not a shortcut. It's being efficient with your time and being the best business person you can.
Mm-hmm. And like, I was talking to one of my sisters, and you know, you guys have followed me for a couple of years, so you know, I am a constant learner. Like, every month it's a new Audible book and it's a new self-help, and maybe it's business, maybe it's, you know, personal goals, maybe it's therapy. Like, I've shared, like, I've gone to therapy. I've tried to work on myself. I run hot. Like, I get a little reactionary. It's like, nope, calm down, intention, whatever. That's how I've always been. And I think that helps too. Like, just trying to know that I'm not someone who claims to have it all figured out or claims to be perfect or whatever. I think that's, you guys know that I'm trying to constantly learn and, you know, take it. So my sister, when I was like, oh, did you read this book that I told you to? And it was called Tranquility by Tuesday. And she's like, no, because you told me all about it. So I just took all the things that you told me. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that's fine. So she's like, you just read it, summarize the highlights and tell me what to do. I'm like, oh, okay. So you guys just finished season one of your flowers. It is February right now. You took the course at the end of season one. What are some of the big things you guys are going to do differently in season two because of what you learned?
I think, like I have said before, you know, on the business end, absolutely changed pretty much everything we had done. So we're implementing those funds and how to designate funds to go wherever, so that we know we have funds available for bulbs. We know we have to purchase tulips way sooner than we did this year. I mean, we missed it by what, 6 months? Probably.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. We still have tulips.
<It's fine. laughs>
But we know that's got to be a change. The bookkeeping part of it, the social media, thank goodness Audra likes that, because I do not. And that's a bonus of having a partner, is that she gets to do the things that she really enjoys. And I mean, we both love to grow flowers, but there's a lot more than just growing the flowers. I tend to do some of the bookkeeping stuff, and we're good with both of those things. I think taking the course and moving forward, it's just a streamline. Kind of a neat thing. My daughter applied for a national FFA grant. She received it, and she has put her funds towards ranunculus and a low tunnel. So she is implementing that. And she's also taken my lead, I guess you could say, and kind of inspired her to seek out possibly nursing home sponsorships, because we never did that. until we heard it from the course. I think that would be great for a young person to use her flowers, because she had to find a way. If she wants to do her SAE in flowers or floriculture, she couldn't just come in and I say, okay, well, now what do I pay you? That doesn't work. What are you going to do to seek value in there? But I also made sure that she knew there was an exit plan. Like, if she decided that this is not for her, here's how you're going to get out, and we won't move forward until there's a path to get out in case you want out. So that's super fun. We've not done spring subscriptions. We're going to try our hand at that. So growing some different flowers. But I think probably the biggest takeaway is highlighting where it's most profitable, using those times and intention to make it even more successful. Like, what didn't work? And we've got some of those, and we know them, and how to be efficient and streamlined. But moving forward, I think those are probably our biggest takeaways.
I can echo that, just to be efficient with our time. Because there was a lot of nights that, I mean, granted, we work full-time jobs. We didn't start putting together flowers till 9 o'clock at night for the next day's subscriptions, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we'd finish up about midnight. And I loved every minute of it, don't get me wrong. But we know that...
That's not sustainable.
And the excitement carried us through, you know, all the summers, because honestly, that part of it was kind of a stress reliever too. I mean, we're just getting together, we're getting this done, chat about our day, you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, it was fun and it will continue to be fun, but we just know that we have to change some things up.
And like I said, I don't want that for you. I don't want to sell this dream of like... And it's kind of funny because there's a lot of people that have been doing, you know, have been flower farming forever, and they're just mad about all these, this trendy new, they're going to find out it's so much work and you don't make any money and da da da. I'm like, but it doesn't have to be. Like, I firmly believe, and I have, I mean, I work really hard, but I've put a lot of systems in place, and it's definitely possible to run it just like any other business. It's a business, and, you know, like I said, I don't want any emergencies. Like, this shouldn't be an emergency. Like, we should not be running in this constant state of chaos and looming to-do list. And
right.
I mean, feel like you can't leave because of the flowers. Like, nope, that's yep. not what I want.
Yep. And that's kind of why, like, even last year, I knew that ahead of time. I'm like, we show livestock all summer. Like, every weekend. And mm-hmm. so, I mean, we kind of knew that, I mean, Katie and her family like to go to the river on the weekends, you mm-hmm. know, so we're not going to take away from that family time. So farmers markets were not going to ever be a deal. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't going to work mm-hmm. and be sustainable. Mm-hmm. So we needed to map it out and create our own path. So,
yeah. Well, thank you so much. You guys were maybe the third or fourth person to like sign up for the call, and you're like, no, we're doing it. Like, we just haven't signed up yet, but we're doing it. And it just, I was nervous. I mean, I, of course, you know, all the things, like, nobody's going to sign up. This is going to be so embarrassing. I'm going to have to like lie and say, oh yeah, we got 10 people. It was great. We decided not to do it again. Like, whatever. It just, I was so nervous, but I can't thank you guys enough for being the OGs for being here. And yeah, I really appreciate it. So if anyone is listening and they're on the fence about it, reach out to these two. They're at Ranchy Stems on Instagram, and you can find them and feel free to just ask them as a testimony. I'm not paying them. They're not. They get the company. They get to hang out with me today. But I mean, they're just here, and I asked them if they would mind sharing their experience, and they said yes.
Absolutely. We're also on Facebook, and you can find us at ranchystems.com as well. We'd be glad to share any insights we can about the course if you're on the fence.
Yeah, we want to thank Liz for this. And she may not have known how long we watched her in the background because we kind of loom, but everything about what she was doing with her business was just inspiring to us as people too. Because when the day is done, the dust has settled, we want flowers to bring joy, and we want this to be something that we too enjoy as like a therapy, but yet make it maybe not all consuming. And there's stressful times, but we knew that this was an outlet for us to just be who we really want to be and use flowers to express it. And Liz gave us the opportunity to take a course to continue down that successful path, in that we don't know what the next 5 years will bring, and we're going to live for today, and we'll see what tomorrow holds.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the Sunny Merry Meadow podcast. We actually have a different website for you to go to now, and we are so excited. So sunnymarymeadow.com is still my flower farm and ways to come here and get flowers. But the podcast is going to be hosted on sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com. So make sure you head over there and check out the new blog section. That's right. We found a way to put every episode into written blog form, all of the links, and you can even search by topic to find all of the episodes there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen, and please consider leaving a 5-star review so you can find it. You can find us on Facebook. Sunny Mary Meadow is still for the flower farm, but we have a group, Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast Flowerers, and that is the group for the podcast. And then, of course, Instagram at Sunny Mary Meadow is exactly where you're going to find everything. Thank you so much for listening.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.